Blog Talk Radio.
Now, you go to the studio. Start streaming. Start streaming.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Spirit or ghost in the New Testament that is it the true Holy Spirit that Yahweh had. The Holy Spirit is holy because it is sanctified. It's set apart. And why is it sanctified? Why is it set apart? I'll show you why the Holy Spirit is sanctified. Why it's set apart. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, verse 1 reads, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all of the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. So you see what happened on the seventh day? Yahweh ended his work, which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. He blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work, which Elohim created and made. Which means what? The very first time the Creator sanctified anything, it was on the seventh day. That means the order of holiness is the seventh. Holiness is dealing in seven. Therefore, you must understand what Yahweh is saying. And what Yahweh is letting you know is that the seventh is holy. That's the order of seven. It's holy. So when you find something holy, it's going to be seventh. The seventh day is holy. Why else would Yahweh say this in the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter? The first verse reads, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I have given you, then shall the land keep the Sabbath unto Yahweh. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for Yahweh. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. Which means what? The seventh year is holy. It's a Sabbath year. It's set aside. It's sanctified. Even the 7 year is holy. Which is why it's so very important that you know the 7 year. It's very imperative that you know when the 7 year is, because it's a Sabbath to Yahweh. In the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter, the Creator lets you know something. In Leviticus 26, we're going to start reading in verse 33. It says, and I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw you out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate. And you shall be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when ye dwell upon it. Yahweh, he said that if you don't follow his law, which is keeping the Sabbath year, letting the land rest, then you will be kicked out of the land, and it'll lie desolate and enjoy her Sabbaths while you were out of the land. Why? Because the Sabbath year is holy. It's seventh. It's the seventh year. The seventh is holy. This is why in the book of Second Chronicles, you'll find in the 36th chapter. And it reads, in verse 20, and them that escaped from the sword carried away he to Babylon, for they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, which is 70 years, which is 10 sevens. Why 10 sevens? Why? I'll show you why 10 sevens. Think of what the book of Leviticus. What the scripture says is the tenth or the tithe belongs to Yahweh. And that's important because we want to see why Yahweh said that. It's in Leviticus 27, verse 32. And it says, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, the tithe is tenth, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto Yahweh. So the tenth is holy unto Yahweh. Why is the tenth set aside to Yahweh? I thought seven was holy. Seven is holy. Why is seven holy? I'll show you in Genesis, the second chapter. It reads in verse 2, and on the seventh day Elohim ended his work which he had made, and he first thing he did was he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And then he blessed it the seventh day and sanctified it. That's the third thing. The third thing the Creator did on the seventh was make it holy. The third thing was sanctified. Also, the Sabbath day, the very first Sabbath day, what we just read about, occurred 3 days after the beginning of the month. 3 days later, because it was the third of the month, which shows you something very important. Look in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 9th verse. It says, "And Elohim said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And the Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seed. And it was good." And Elohim saw that it was good. Elohim said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is inside itself upon the earth." And it was so. So let me bring it back to you. Verse 9 says, "And Elohim said, let the waters underneath heaven be gathered together into one place." That's one thing there. "And let the dry land appear." And it was so. That's two things there. "And Elohim called the dry land earth." That's the third thing that he did. "And the gathering together of the waters called he seas." That's the fourth thing that he did. "And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass." That's the fifth thing that he did. "And herb yielding seed." That's the sixth thing that he did. "And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. Seven different things the Creator did on the third day. On the third day, Yahweh set the earth apart. He made it set apart for his own self, his own reasons. And so, you see, on the seventh day, the third thing Yah did was make it holy. On the seventh day, it was the third of the month. But on the third day, Yahweh did seven things. Why? Because it's holy. So not only is the third holy, but the seventh is holy. But the seventh is the first time you see something sanctified, and it was the third thing that Yahweh did. And on the third day, he did seven things because it's holy. So the tenth belongs to Yahweh because it's in the order of three. It's holy. So the tenth belongs to Yah. The tenth, he said, is holy unto Yah. The seventh is sanctified, is set apart, it's holy. And he removed us into Babylon for 70 years, which is 70 years, which is seven Sabbaths of years, or 10 Sabbaths of years. That's what 70 years is, 10 Sabbaths a year. Holiness. This is all done for Yahweh. So when something is holy, it's seven. In a peculiar manner that even has the order of three upon it. And why? Because he's doing it for someone. And who is he doing it for? I'll show you who he's doing this for. In the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter, Yahweh moves in this peculiar way so you will know that it's him. Nobody else does stuff like this. You don't find nobody else doing things like this. Not only did he separate the waters into one place, separate the earth into one place, call the waters sea, call the earth, call the dry land earth, made grass, made herbs, made trees, seven things on the third day. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? He did that for somebody. He made the earth a holy place. And he did that for a particular reason. In the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter, verse 4 reads, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you upon eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my Sabbath covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine." Meaning what? Yahweh possesses the earth. So what he did on the earth was for his own purposes, and all the ways of the Creator are holy, so he would do this, these seven things on the third day. He would do this, these three things, or the third thing on the seventh day, to make it holy. He would do this because the earth belongs to him. "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests," a kingdom of messengers. That's what you're going to be. A kingdom of priests. Those that hold the messages of the Creator. That's what a priest is. And in addition, look what you're going to be. First, you're a peculiar treasure. Second, you're a kingdom of priests. And third, and a holy nation. Three things that Yahweh identifies you as being when you keep his covenant: peculiar, priest, and holy. Why is holy the third thing? Because the third is holy, because the third was sanctified with seven things. What I'm saying to you is, if it's holy, it's going to be saved. Therefore, the New Testament lied to you. Because why? Because they said that they gave you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And there ain't nothing seven about the Holy Ghost or Spirit in the New Testament. But Yahweh, he has a Holy Spirit, even one that he would put within somebody. And let me show you what it says in the book of Micah, the third chapter. In Micah, the third chapter, verse 7 reads, "Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of Elohim. But truly, I am full of the power by the Spirit of Yahweh." Now, he's telling you he got the Spirit of Yah. Now, can we prove that? If he says, "I got the Spirit of Yahweh, and you're going to speak with new tongues," let me show you what you've been tricked about. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, in this book, you're going to find a grave lie. In Acts chapter 2, verse says when the day, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them, and it rested on each one of them. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. There were Yehudim, or Jews, living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were as confounded as they were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea, in Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking the magnificent acts of God in our own languages." They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this be?" But some sneered and said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, proclaimed to them, "Men of Yehuda, and all of you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this. Let me kick some game to you. Pay attention to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." And look what they're going to quote from the Holy Scriptures. "And it will be in the last days, says Elohim, that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my male and female slaves in those days, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and remarkable day of Yahweh comes. And everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved." Yeah, but this is not what was going on. So why would he quote that? He quoted that because he didn't have nothing else to say with his lying self. They told you that the Holy Spirit was what made them speak in these languages. This wasn't the Holy Spirit. I just showed you in the book of Micah, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse says, "Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all come with their lips, for there is no answer of Elohim. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of Yahweh." And what does this mean I'm going to do? "And of judgment. And of might." Yes. "To declare unto Yaakov his transgressions and to Israel his sin." I'm not about to speak Korean. I'm about to tell you the truth. Because I got the Spirit of God. You see what he said he had? The Spirit of judgment, the Spirit of might. And this is so he can declare to Yaakov his transgressions and Israel his sin. Not so he could talk different languages. That's just a lie. Look in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Because what we've been showing you are Yahweh's many spirits, which is the Holy Spirit. Even the prophet Micah had this Holy Spirit. Look in Isaiah 11. Verse 1 reads, "Behold, and there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him." And let's see if he's going to speak different languages. The Spirit of wisdom, which we dealt with. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the principal thing. The chief thing. Wisdom was there in the beginning. Wisdom is with the light and the understanding, which is what will help you depart from evil, give you knowledge of the holy. The spirit of counsel, which is advice that you will get from the law, from the word of Yah, the counsel of Yah, and might. And that's what we're going to deal with today. And we might even, we're going to deal with might today. I was going to say we might get to another one, but we're going to deal with might today. As you just read, Micah said he got the spirit of Yah, the spirit of judgment, even the spirit of might, to do what? To declare unto you your transgressions, Jacob, and Israel, your sins. And why do you need to have might to be able to do such a thing? Why does Yahweh require his Holy Spirit be consistent of might? The fourth spirit is might, meaning this should bring forth Yahweh's praise. Not only that, it should show forth the difference. Not only that, it should aid you in war, because the fourth represents Yah's praise. And Yahweh requires that his praise is alone, meaning he don't want to share his praise with no one. No one. So Yahweh will go to war for his praise. He will make sure everybody is on the same page, and that is they don't share in God's praise. So if you want to praise Yah, then you will need the spirit of might. And why else would Yahweh put his spirit of might on anyone but the one that would be inside? You need a mighty man, a mighty person, and not just any kind of might, not any kind of strength. The might that the Most High is talking about is a valiant kind of might. A might that is born not in tight muscle fibers, but a might that is born in the worship of Yah. There's a certain kind of might that you're going to have. And let me show you the type of might Yahweh is talking about. In the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. And why do we even need to know these different spirits? Because these are the signs. These are the signs that Yahweh has put upon the one that will be an ensign. a signia, a standard, a banner, a representative of our deliverance. I'm going to show you that. So you need to know what it looks like. Not only that, you need to see if you can get some of this spirit too. Why else would Yahweh give you a representation of what is holy if he didn't want you to have it? Just because you're not Moses or David don't mean you cannot have this Holy Spirit that Yahweh has put out there for you to have. But in Jeremiah, the first chapter, I'm going to show you what the spirit of might looks like. In Jeremiah, the first chapter, it says in verse 6, then said I, Yahweh Elohim, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Yahweh said unto me, say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I send you. And whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, saith Yahweh. So part of having the spirit of might is knowing that Yahweh is with you. Yahweh told Jeremiah, I'm with you. You might not think you know how to speak, but I'm going to teach you. You might think that just because you're young, a youth, that you'll be taken advantage of, but I'm going to deliver you. Don't be afraid, because Yah is with you. So you have the Creator on your side, and you can be mighty. He said in verse 9, then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So this is part of having that might. You are confident with Yah. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. I set thee over the nations and over the kingdom to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. So he said, I'm sending you to war. I'm sending you to war, Jeremiah. That's right. You're going to go over these nations and you're going to root them out, pull them down, destroy them, throw them down, and then you're going to build them again. And you're going to do it with my word. But you can't do that if you don't have the spirit of might. Like Micah said, to speak up. And this is a might that shows victory. That's why Yahweh is telling Jeremiah, don't worry about it, I'm with you. You already got it. So he's showing forth a victory, a spirit of victoriousness. You're already the champion. You already won because you got the Creator with you. So you don't got to worry about it. Look here. In Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, it reads, verse 1, and he said unto me, son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto you. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me and set me upon my feet. And I heard him that spoke unto me, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. They are impudent children and stiff-necked. I do send you unto them. And you shall say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbid, if they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with you, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So he's letting Ezekiel know, I know I'm about to send you to a bunch of haters, a bunch of grimy people, a bunch of scorners, a bunch of rebels, a bunch of hard-headed, ignorant folk that ain't going to listen to a word you say. They're going to talk about you, throw stuff at you, and plot on you, and ignore you. Verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat that I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey, for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel, your own people. Not to many people of strange speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand, surely. Had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened unto you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, won't hearken to you. For they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and my forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant hearted instrument have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So what did Yahweh do with Ezekiel? He gave him the victory. He gave him a valiant spirit. He gave him the spirit of might, even though he was sending them, him, unto a people that are basically described as the hardest headed people on earth. He said, if you went to another nation, they listen to you, but not Israel. They hard-headed. They don't even listen to Yahweh himself, let alone their own brother. So don't feel bad when they don't listen to you. Now, I knew Yahweh's word was the truth, but I still wanted to try it out. When I was a school teacher, working with all Israelite children, where they don't know who they are, and Yahweh said they ain't hard-headed. They won't listen to you. They don't do what you say. And what better experiment group than some children? And so I said to these group of children who were loud and not trying to be quiet, I said to the children many times, children, be quiet. Children, be quiet. They kept talking. They kept being loud. Then I said, children, keep talking. And they stopped. I said, children, be quiet. And they started talking. It was a raw display of the word of the Creator. Our people are that hard-headed. And you think that it would be just children. But no, I've done it with adults. I know that Yahweh is telling the truth. Israel don't want to listen. Why else did Micah say, I'm full of the spirit of Yahweh, the spirit of judgment, the spirit of might, so I can tell Israel they sin. Look what it's saying in Isaiah. The 58th chapter. You think this might is some kind of spirit that allows you to beat folks up. So that's not necessarily what it's doing. In Isaiah 58, verse 1 reads, cry loud, stand up, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. In the house of Yaakov, their sin. You gotta have might to do this. Because they're not gonna listen to you. You gotta already know that what you're bringing and coming with is already victorious, triumphant. There's nothing that can go against it. I've actually seen this spirit in action. Moreh Elisha, one of Yahweh's messengers. Moreh Elisha, a man that had no bachelor's degree, had no doctor of divinity degree, had no master's of psychology. All he had was the word of Yah. Men of multiple degrees, multiple accolades in the sciences and arts would stand up against Moreh Elisha. And before Moreh Elisha would go and debate these people, to show forth the word of Yah, Elisha would say, I'm already celebrating the victory. I'm already rejoicing in the triumph because I know that Yahweh has already won the battle because he had the word of Yah. He would go into these different things, and he would be the coolest man there. And nobody could do anything to disrupt the word of Yah out of this man's mouth. Why? Because he had the spirit of might on him. He was a mighty man of Yahweh. And this spirit of might was with him because Yahweh already gave the victory. Let me show you another example of this mighty spirit in the book of 2 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We'll start reading at the 7th verse. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel has given you is not good at this time. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their mind as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. Just picture that. These mighty men, they got this mighty spirit on them. They're chafed in their mind, meaning they're strict, hardcore in their mind. They got the mind like a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. Do you know what that is? This huge beast with claws, just massive, paws and claws, massive teeth. And they, when you take their cub, all they're already, they're focused. They know exactly what they're about to do. Find, destroy, rescue. They're trying to find whoever took their child. Destroy whoever took their child. Rescue their child. Nobody's going to stop a bear in that mind state. The bear in that mind state, even the lion in that mind state, they've already won what they're about to come up against. There's no stopping. And this is how they're describing David and his mighty men. He said they're like a bear robbed of their wealth in the field. And your father is a man of war. Of course, he's David. He got the spirit of might on him. Because why? Because he's Yahweh's servant. Because he's Israel. He got the spirit of might on him. He's a man of war. And will not lodge with the people. This man, he's going to be a man of war. He's going to separate himself like a warrior should. Because war is about division. So he don't even lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit and in some other place. And it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Meaning, don't play with these folks, man. Absalom, you think you done took over your father's house? But your father is a man of war. His people is men of war. Valiant men. Mighty. They got the spirit of might. They already know what they about to do. They know what they about to partake in. They know how they about to win. And David was this way because he knew he had Yahweh with him. Their spirit of might was a spirit that says, we already see the end of this battle. And the end of this battle is me standing over you and you dead. And we go in. Like a bear robbed of her whelps. That's all a bear is looking at. My cubs with me, and whoever took them, bloody, dead, and no longer a threat. The spirit of might is about making sure there's only one that stands, and that is the word of Yah. That's Yahweh himself. When you come with the spirit of might, you only want to make sure there's only one thing happening. And Yahweh's praise is that one thing. Nobody else gets it. We can't accept it. Look here in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter again. Because you want to see why would Yahweh put such a fearsome spirit upon a person? Why would he even allow people to walk around with such a fearsome spirit? I wouldn't want to mess with nobody that has the spirit of might upon them. Because there's just no way. And in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 10th verse, it reads here, "And in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth." If you don't have a spirit of might, how are you going to stand up to the entire world and get your people? This is what the ensign will do. Stand up to the whole world and let them know it's time to let my people go home. Let them go. Look what it even says in the same chapter, the 11th chapter, verse 4 says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." That's a mighty spirit. Being able to even slay and smite even with what you're saying, because Yahweh's word is that powerful. In Isaiah, the 54th chapter, you'll just see another display of what the spirit of might will look like. And it says in Isaiah 54, verse 16, "Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy." Yahweh is letting you know, I created all of this. I did it. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yah, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh." He's giving you a spirit of victory, a spirit of valor. You are the champion already. Just go in the way of Yahweh. That's how he's sending his servant, in the way of might, because he has to show forth God's praise. He's going to have to show this difference. And nobody that stands up will be able to take him down, will be able to make him back into a corner and make him afraid, because he knows that Yahweh is there. Yahweh is with him. Yahweh already won. He's just being an instrument used to show you that Yahweh is one. No one can stand against this spirit of might. It's too strong. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Show you how all these spirits go together. In Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verse 14 reads, this is wisdom talking. Didn't I tell you that the first spirit is wisdom? It's the principal thing. Everything after this must have wisdom. You can't have understanding in no wisdom. You can't have counsel in no wisdom. You can't have might in no wisdom. And what does wisdom say? Counsel is mine, in verse 14. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And this same word strength is the same word as might. Kapor. I have might. I have strength. Why does wisdom have strength? Because wisdom is the light of Yahweh. Ain't nothing stronger than the light of Yahweh. Ain't nothing stronger than the word of Yahweh. You can't get over on that. You can't beat that. You can't contest that. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. So you're not going to be able to have anything to stand up against Yahweh. He's the mighty Elohim. He's victorious. He's already won. Look how Yahweh talks. This is how his servant will walk with him, with this kind of confidence, with this kind of understanding, with this kind of surety, because he has the spirit of might. Look how Yahweh speaks. Look how sure and confident the Creator is. In Isaiah, the 44th chapter, verse 7 reads, let's start at verse 6. Thus saith Yahweh, the king of Israel. I mean, of course, Yahweh's the king. If he's going to give his earthly king might, of course, Yahweh has the spirit of might. He made the spirit of might. He knows how to use the spirit of might. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no Elohim. That's how a mighty one speaks. A one that already knows the victory belongs to them. You can't walk into the boxing ring and stand before Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Buster Douglas, and say, ain't nobody beating me. You can't stand in front of them and do that. You can't stand in front of all the kingdoms of the earth with all their weaponry and all their sciences and tell them that you are the chief unless you know what the outcome is. And what's the outcome? The outcome is victory. And this victory is the praises of Yahweh. Look what it says. I offer, and who as I shall call and shall declare it and shall set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming. And shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you? In that time, I have declared, ye are even my witnesses. He's letting you know, you're the witness of the mightiest one there is. He's letting you know, don't have to be afraid. I've already let you know, and you're my witness. Is there an Elohim besides thee? Yea. Is no Elohim. I know not it. Your Elohim is mighty. He can tell you. He can tell the world. There ain't nobody touching me. There ain't nobody but me. There ain't no way you can find anyone like me. And you are my witness. So you shouldn't even worry about anyone else. Because there's no one like Yahweh and Yah's servant. That's the kind of spirit he's going to have when he goes and stands up as the inside. Look what it says in Isaiah 42 and 1. It says, behold, my servant, whom I hold, my elect, and whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Because I put my spirit on him. And he can go before the entire world. And he'll declare the truth. And he won't let no one back him down. He'll go before the entire world. And he'll let the world know who Yah's people are. And no rabbi, no media mogul, no paycheck will get him to reverse his state like these other jokers out here today. Same thing and then tucking their tails between their legs. Why? Because Yahweh will give his servant the spirit of might in which you will be able to distinctively know that you're dealing with Yahweh's inside to deliver us. You dealing with Yahweh's messenger. You dealing with the one that will definitely show forth Yahweh's praises. And they can only do it by the spirit of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, including the spirit of might. So, if you want to know who is the one that Yahweh will put the Holy Spirit in, who he called David, look for this wisdom, this understanding, even counsel. And look for this might. For this will show forth the praises of Yah. For there is none else besides Yahweh. And as he says in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 11th verse, I am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. No one else but Yah. The only one in the spirit of might will make that clear and definitive. So until next time, tomorrow, we will return with our fifth and sixth spirit. Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.